When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, how's your hair hanging with all this humidity that we're having?
It's not. It's frizzing.
I have seen so many girls online talking about the humidity in their hair.
Mm-hmm.
I always say hanging there like a hair in a biscuit. It's a little gross. But
I've had a hairy biscuit. It's not real good.
But hair is apparently very important. You always hear, I'm having a bad hair day. New study found the average person spends 279 entire days styling their hair over the course of their lifetime.
Wow.
Well, not us.
That's why I said wow.
Yeah, that works out to about 18 minutes a day that you're working on your hair.
Well, that sounds almost a little low for women.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, 82% of people feel like their hair is an important part of who they are.
Well, I appreciate you saying this while I'm in the thick of postpartum hair loss.
Right.
Coming out in globs, so thank you.
I was just thinking, what are the bald guys out there thinking?
I know, right?
Well,
you don't need hair.
I know. They can pull it off.
But you know what? Their sweat's just running in their eyes.
Boy, I tell you.
You know what? I shaved my head bald once for a Torture Tuesday, mm-hmm. and chicks were into it. I got more chicks that would come up and rub their hand on my bald head, and I got dates out of it, and it was a pretty big, women liked it.
It's interesting because, you know, you do say that hair matters so much, but there are some people who, women or men, when they don't have any hair, it's actually beautiful. Like, you see their features so much better.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, some people it works.
Well, half the people would rather lose 25% of their salary than 25% of their hair.
Hmm. Wow.
I'm not sure about that. I'd buy some hair.
Yeah. And then 1 in 3 people would delete all of their social media accounts if they could just have thick hair for the rest of their life.
I could hit delete right now.
Even without something on the other side of it, it just sounds nice not to be on social media.
Oh, that's crazy talk. You say that, but you're on there for a reason.
Sometimes you're like, how did my cell phone get in my hand? It's like you don't even know. It's like you're on it more than you think you are.
You ever open your phone to look at something specific and you get distracted by social media and then you close your phone and you're like, wait, I got on there for a reason. What was it?
Oh, yeah.
I was supposed to pay that payment.
So with your hair, having bad hair days, all that stuff, they also say teenagers are serious about their hair. And I would agree. You see, because that was a big deal, especially when I was in high school as well. And I see it even with my kids. It's like a lot of times they will see their reflection in the car, like before they even get in, like in car line and stuff like that, they'll be fixing their hair.
What's so funny is the moment you step away from that mirror, it goes to whatever it's going to
exactly,
go to. But
yeah.
In your mind, you still look like that moment you had it perfect. It's all about your self-image.
As soon as that gust of wind comes up,
right.
It's a different. It's parted differently.
Yeah, and it gets stuck all in your eyelashes or whatever else, and you're sitting there trying to get it out.
It wasn't a gust of wind for me today. I opened the garage door, and I was walking out to let my dog out, and I hit a spider web. Just fixed my hair. It was all perfect. And I'm like, I'm brushing my hair to make sure there's no spiders in there. And I'm like, okay, I've got to go back up, ruin my whole routine, ruin my whole day so far. But I mean, it was like sticking up like Alfred Einstein. But there was no spider in my hair. I did a little spider check right there. But it was not fun. I was waving my hands in the air because I did care. But anyway, that's another thing that can get you, not only the wind, but the walking in a spider web.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say 7% of Americans enjoy humid weather. I don't know what's wrong with those people.
Okay.
But they actually asked them, they said that 2% love it and 5% like humid weather. So 7% actually love or like the humid weather.
Well, if you think about it, people go in saunas, and that's basically just humid weather.
Yeah, but man, only for a short time.
Yeah.
I don't know why someone would like it full time.
My hair is so short, my hair is not like, it doesn't mess up with the humidity as much. Like, is it got to be, because yours is more curly with the humidity.
I was going to say, rub it in.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's like my hair, is normal.
Yeah.
And then I walk outside and it's like you can hear it. And I just turn into a French poodle.
My wife deals with that too.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The transformation.
Yeah.
Poofy hair. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll check my armpits. Maybe it's there. That's all where all the humidity is.
Right there. We don't look any further.
It's got its own jail right there. I got an armpit comb over going on.
Gross.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
You know, I get a kick out of watching stupid people do stuff. I don't have any empathy for stupid. And Hawk criticizes me for this.
I don't criticize you for that.
What would you call it?
I'm just judgmental about that.
You glad you watch him?
No, I think because we all make stupid mistakes. I'm like, all of us. Everybody in the whole wide world.
Okay, so, but some people make a lot worse mistakes and more often than others. Like the story I'm going to tell you about today. About someone who probably thought that they were like, you know, a do-gooder, and they thought they were like granola and all about saving the trees, and in this case, the bears. This
the guy,
bears. He's driving, he's 60 years old, he's in California, and he hit a bear in his car.
Oh.
So what did he decide to do? He decides to go help the bear.
Ooh.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
I mean, he's sitting there and he's not thinking like I am. He's not thinking like, wow, that bear has just been hurt and it's probably going to be very defensive right now.
What kind of bear?
It was, I believe, a grizzly.
Oh, never mind.
It wasn't a teddy.
Yeah. It wasn't Winnie the Pooh.
It was brown, so I don't know. They got a picture of it on the side of the road. It died from its injuries, but not before he tried to help it across the concrete barrier and got bit, and his arm had to be tourniqueted and flown to the hospital because he almost died.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, if somebody hits me with a car, I'd be angry too. So I don't know if I, you know, that bear's going to be super angry when you get out to try to help him.
If nothing else, it's confused and it's hurting and it's facing the fact that it's in pain. And then you come along and start messing with it and it don't know you.
You go, hey, boo-boo.
So this guy, he hits the bear, gets out of his car to help it and gets mauled. I'm like, I'm sorry. I almost find that amusing because that's just so stupid that it deserves it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hit a deer once when I was in high school. This deer was massive.
Yeah.
And I did try and find it because, I mean, it flew over my car and I was like, it's really hurt.
It was a reindeer.
Oh, poor Santa. Was it Rudolph?
Yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah.
I couldn't find it. But I did try and get out and look for it. And then the cops were like, you idiot. Why are you out on the side of the road looking for a deer?
Oh, wow. Those cops didn't have any empathy either.
Yeah.
I feel bad, like, if I hit, like, a possum or, you know, because, you know, it's got a family somewhere, and I just took out the possum or the squirrel.
Well, what about it?
Yeah.
You don't feel bad for it?
Well, it's not there anymore. It's like, you know, he's in possum heaven or wherever. But I also saw a story, and this is in Europe somewhere, where a guy was taking a selfie of a baby cub bear, and the mama bear came and killed it.
Yeah.
You know, it killed a guy.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, he was on a motorcycle and saw this little bear cub. You see that, and it says, this is the last picture this guy took.
You know, you don't take a picture of people's kids without asking.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not right.
He's probably going to post it on social media, wasn't he?
Yeah.
She's like, no, you're not.
No, he did. He posted it. It's like he posted the picture, and then the mom came, and that was the last picture he posted.
I'm suspicious of those stories.
You know what, though? Why make them cute and fluffy if I'm not supposed to pet them? Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, an alligator I look at, and I'm like, you're scaly. You don't look like you'd be fun to pet,
yeah,
so
right.
I probably wouldn't try it.
Mm-hmm.
But bears, they're so fluffy, and they're so cute, and their little ears. Like, why?
You're one of those people I make fun of, aren't you?
To my face, most days.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Well, I have an individual story I want to ask you guys. It was kind of a what would you do scenario this morning. I want to get your opinion. So it kind of falls in line with a group therapy.
I would do whatever is the least amount of work possible to solve it.
Okay, you don't even have to hear the scenario, do you?
I know that much.
So a friend of mine was out. There was 8 people at a restaurant, and everybody gets their plate except for one girl.
Is the whole party there? Because you won't be seated unless the whole party's there.
The whole party's there. Okay, they've already ordered. They've been having some fun, and 7 of the people got their plates. One girl didn't get her plate. So everybody's waiting for her. Took 10 minutes. And he finally said, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and eat.
Why did they wait that long?
And then the other people got onto him, saying they should wait for her.
No, that's stupid.
Yeah. It's respect. That's,
no, it means you're going to have a cold meal for seven people.
Well, now, I've had that happen to me, and I tell my friends, do not wait on me.
Yeah.
Y'all go ahead and eat. I don't care. But it out of respect, you're supposed to wait till everybody
that's
has
just
their
stupid.
Plate.
This is like that thing, if the train is heading down the track and there's one person on one track and five on the
right.
other, what do
Save
you do?
Save the seven.
Order me a drink on the beer cart.
Save the seven.
The girls got more upset about it than the guys did when he dug in and started eating.
I wouldn't even let anyone try to be upset. I'd be like, you get upset, you need to leave.
So I did some research. Most restaurant experts say it's generally polite to wait a few minutes after everyone's plate has been served and is in front of them.
Why would you wait after everyone's been plated?
Well, I'm talking about but if there's one person that's not gotten served yet.
Well, I served tables for years, and you leave people's food under the hot bar until everybody's dish is ready, and then you take it all out. Maybe that's why so many people complain.
Yeah. They say typically around 3 to 5 minutes is when you can start eating.
Oh, that's too long.
Yeah.
I agree with Tom on that one.
This allows for a bit of synchronicity, the experts say, especially in a social setting. So, but if everyone, you know, is sitting there and you're being held up, they say the person that the food has not gotten to yet should say, like you said, Kato, you guys feel free to go ahead and eat. It ain't going to bother me at all.
Yeah, but you know it does.
Does it really?
Especially if it's me. I'm sitting there starving, and you're like, oh, the steak is so good.
But would you really want your friends not to enjoy their food because of that?
Yes, we all suffer together.
Wow.
No, okay. But I'd be like, hey, can I get one of your fries
now
while
that's
I wait?
Fair.
Yeah. I don't mind. I think none of my friends, we are okay with that.
But all right.
I will wait, though.
Just let me lick your steak real quick.
just one little lick. Yeah.
I am not ruining my meal because yours hadn't come out yet. I think it sucks that yours hadn't come out, and I'm upset with the restaurant, but I'm not going to punish myself for it.
Okay, then they went on individual versus group. In a one-on-one situation, it's more common for the person to wait for the other person to get their food.
What does that mean?
So you're out with your wife or whatever. Okay. She doesn't get her plate, and like you wait until you go ahead.
No way, man. I'm telling my wife, I'm like, listen, if you want some of this, help yourself, but I'm not waiting for it to get cold.
Especially like a date.
Yeah.
On a date, you have to act differently. On a date, you're not acting like yourself.
That's what you're doing with your wife, though. It's a date, Tom.
No, you guys know each other way too well for that crap.
Okay. They say with larger groups, it's less practical to expect everyone to wait for that person to get their plate.
Right.
So if it's one-on-one situation, you wait. If it's a big group, the person says, go ahead and eat, go ahead and eat.
So, Tom, if it's just the two of you and your food comes out first and she eats some of yours, do you get some of hers when her food
comes
out?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm not the only person who's like tick for tack with food.
Right, I mean, it's like, okay, this is fair. It's all about being fair.
Yeah, so if I take a bite of your burger, then you can have a bite of my chicken or whatever.
Right, I'll have a little bite of that chicken Alfredo. I get a part with the meat in it, too.
It's like you're trading.
Do the same thing. I'm like, don't you hand me that broccoli.
Honestly.
You give me a piece of chicken.
I'm so different than you guys. It's kind of funny.
We're glad.
Okay, and exceptions are if your food is something that gets cold quickly, like soup or something, it's okay and acceptable. Go ahead and eat that.
Or anything.
Okay.
Well, we have a text that says their friend talked about in Cotillion, if the food is hot, it's the etiquette is to go ahead and eat.
Okay.
But if it's a cold dish, then
like salad or something,
it's just not going to get way ruined or nothing.
And sometimes, like if you've got that hot fajita plate, you got to wait to eat.
That's true. Yeah, it's
a hot plate.
It's sizzling coming out on their shoulder, going shh.
And why do they say hot plate? We're still going to touch it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and then it's ow, that's hot.
It's like a legal thing, though.
And they can have a pot holder on that plate, and you still grab it. It's like, it's hot.
And then you have to act like it's not, and you're like, I'm fine.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Group Therapy Wednesday today. So we got a lot going on here. We have a gentleman named Jesse. He's on the line now, and he has something that he wants us to help him out with.
Story is really, really weird.
Okay.
I work in like a regular office, you know, 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And the other day I had a weird dream about a woman who works across from me in the cubicle.
Okay.
And in the dream, I kissed her.
Okay.
In this dream. I mean, it was a whole weird thing. And I woke up like, wow, that's strange. And then I went to work and we were just, you know, chatting, how's your weekend and so on. And I mentioned that I had this dream where I kissed her.
Well, and, you know what? We've all had that dream before where you kiss a coworker.
You don't admit it.
Oh, I mean, I didn't think anything of it. I just thought, oh, that's weird. I don't know how that happened, huh?
Yeah, what do you do, though? Do you tell the person?
I don't know. I mean, I had never, like, made any advances to her or anything or thought of her in that way even. It was just, it happened in this dream.
Right.
Is she cute?
I mean, yeah, but it's just, it wasn't something that had occurred to me, and I didn't think it was a big deal to tell her about what happened.
Yeah?
Well, then the next thing I know, I get a phone call that's like, come on into the HR.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They were like, what's going on? And they were all upset. And I was like, what do you mean? I didn't kiss her. I just told her that I had a dream about that.
Wow.
And oh, no, you can't. And then next thing I know, like, I've got to go over the employee handbook and watch a training video and take a test and all these things.
Oh, man.
For something that didn't happen.
Now things are going to be so awkward between
yeah.
you two.
Yeah. We have to take those tests a lot of times here, like, and we had to take the one about harassment and mm-hmm. HR and all that stuff.
Is it harassment if it's something that never happened?
Boy, like, I don't know.
I just said I had a dream that this happened. I didn't say, hey, we should, you know, check that out or anything. Nothing. Like, I just.
Here's the thing, man. Sexual harassment's very simple. If you're a good-looking guy that they're interested in, it's not sexual harassment. If you're not, then it's sexual harassment. So I would never tell a coworker I dreamed I kissed him because it would be harassment.
You just called him out.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that she's not interested in him.
No, you said I'm not that attractive. I get it.
I might have said that too. But even regardless, if she's maybe she got a boyfriend or a husband or something, but whatever, she's like, if she's not interested in you, then it's harassment.
I guess I learned that one the hard way.
So when they pulled you in the office, what do they say? They say, hey, you cannot dream about her anymore.
they just said, like, it's inappropriate to talk about kissing a coworker and all these things, like, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about who I can dream about or not, but they did say, talk to a coworker like that.
Yeah. I guess you got to keep those a secret.
Now, have you seen her since the incident?
Yeah, and it's always just cold and quiet and, hey, how you doing? Like, not, you know, no more conversations about anything.
You're going to have to pick a new friend to be friends with at work.
Yeah, just don't dream about him.
Or don't tell him about
it. They can move me to another cubicle.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's going to be awkward for some time now, don't you think?
Probably. So I'm trying to find out, like, if am I the only one this has ever happened to? Has somebody else ever gotten in trouble for a virtual thing that happened?
I've had a dream. I've shared with coworkers, but I knew the coworkers at the time, you know, that I've shared. I'm like, they're in here, so.
Uh-oh, me or Tom.
All right, man. Well, I think you definitely learned it's not a good idea to ever tell a coworker that you dreamed of kissing them unless you're really sure that they're cool with that.
And maybe someone's listening right now that's been through this before, and we'll have them help you out this morning.
Well, I can tell you this. Add on to that, don't tell dirty jokes in front of a mixed crowd.
No, you can't do that.
I got written up one time in the past for that.
But you can call in another week.
Okay, I'll call next week.
All right, thanks for your call this morning. We'll see what happens.
Good luck.
All right, thanks.
1-800-386-0937, you can help us out.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
My doctor has a sign up on his wall that says that there's an extra fee if you come in with a diagnosis from Dr. Google before you get there. Now, it's a joke. He's kidding around. But it is an annoyance to a lot of physicians because people come in and they Google whatever's wrong with them and they find the most unlikely, rarest condition and they're convinced that's what they have. And it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I got a cancer in my sinuses. And they're like, you have a cold, you know, but you found something that 0.0001% of the population is one person has gotten it in the history of mankind. And that's the thing you think it is. Yep. But there's been a change in this. And it's not from Google. It's from ChatGPT and the AIs out there. AIs are starting to diagnose correctly.
I can believe it.
It's crazy because when you think about an AI, it's trained on all of mankind's knowledge, all of the medical knowledge out there. And your doctor may know a lot. He may be a really good doctor, but he doesn't know everything. But AI does.
So if I were to go online and try and find this myself, because everyone says AI and ChatGPT, but they don't tell me, like, what do I Google to get there?
Okay, it's chatgpt.org.
Oh, okay.
Tori. Or if you just Google ChatGPT, it will find it for
but
you.
There are a lot of options, and not all of them are very good. So which one is the one?
ChatGPT.
I got some symptoms. So okay. I'm trying to figure it out.
So here's what people are doing that makes it work for them. They're not just writing down what they think it is. They are actually putting in the details. They will literally record what the doctor says. They will take the charts and the graphs that they got from my chart.
I ain't got time for all that.
Okay. Well, you can die of your weird disease.
I'll live my life, though, till the very end.
And so they plug these things in. And when they plug them in, ChatGPT catches all of the connections between these things. Some examples. There's a guy who had symptoms for 10 years. They had MRIs, CAT scans, blood work, all this stuff, and ChatGPT was able to find out from a gene mutation that was in one of the lab reports that they had a disease that even though they looked like they had normal vitamin B12 levels, their body wasn't processing the vitamin B12 and they weren't getting what they needed. And they were able to fix it simply by increasing the amount of B12 they were getting. Mm-hmm. And this is something they had been fighting for 10 years that the doctors hadn't put those two things together.
Ain't that something?
Well, I just read about another couple. They had been going through IVF and several failed attempts. And they used...
Now, IVF, for those who don't know, is the in vitro fertilization where you have to have a baby and you don't get to do the fun parts.
And they used AI, and this
birds and the bees talk right now. Oh. Surprise, y'all!
I don't think I was very detailed.
They used AI to go through and get the organisms that were good, and basically they're expecting a baby in December now.
Right,
it's amazing.
Okay, another example on here was someone who said that they went to the vet, and their doctor told them, hey, your dog is pretty much on its last leg, and it's not going to make it. And they said, huh?
It only had one leg?
Well, he had three originally.
His name was Skipper.
Gone, yeah.
I don't need the internet.
Sorry.
All right.
I don't need the internet for that one. I think I can figure that one out on my own.
Yeah.
He's only got one leg.
Well, they fed the symptoms into ChatGPT, and they ended up finding out that he had a heart problem from having had heartworms and three medications three times a day, and the dog is better again. Wow. The doctor was veterinarian was telling him, your dog is done. And ChatGPT saved their dog's life.
Now, is this like a lawsuit waiting to happen? Because, I mean, if you go to the doctor for 10 years and then all of a sudden you find out from ChatGPT what the cause is, can you get your money back from 10 years that your doctor did not know what he was doing?
That's why they call doctors' offices practices.
Yeah.
They're still practicing on
right.
you.
That's
yeah. There are so many examples. I have literally a dozen sheets of paper here in front of
Please
me.
Please don't read them all.
I'm not going to read them all. But there are other examples, people vomiting for 15 years. They found out that there was something wrong with a nerve, and they fully treated it. Just so many of these things. There's one I can't even read to you because it's so gross sounding. But there's a lot of women diagnosing themselves with a rare condition that I'm not going to say on the radio, and it's changing their lives because a lot of doctors don't even know the condition exists, but ChatGPT finds it.
And that's why we Google. That's why people Google stuff, because if you are that one in a million, you're like, I'm a doctor now. I just figured it out.
The problem with Google is Google doesn't weigh out the odds or the chances. Google gives you the worst case scenario. ChatGPT actually judges whether or not it's likely that that weird thing is the problem or not.
But ChatGPT can't give me that turn your head and cough exam, can they?
You know, that's kind of fun at times.
You can do that yourself. I have a thing hanging in my shower.
What?
Dang. It tells you, it's a little card. It tells you how to do the different tests.
That's like tickling yourself, though. You just can't do it.
It's not the same. Yeah. I mean, I'm paying money.
You can't do it correctly.
As long as ChatGPT can't do that, the doctors will still be in business for Hawk.
You're safe, yeah.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.